Community Matters, solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference.
Hey, it's Megan from The Morning Show with your encouraging WPER. Welcome to another edition of Community Matters. I'm excited now to share our annual, I guess it's pretty annual, check-in with Operation Christmas Child. To kind of hear about what's going on this season, a little bit of a history, especially if you've never heard of Operation Christmas Child before, a little bit about what they do and how you can get involved. All right, we're here this morning with Jean Jones. She is with Operation Christmas Child. Jean, welcome. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you, Megan. I'm excited to be with you.
Now, can I ask you, just for those who are listening, what is your role within Operation Christmas Child? What's your title and what sort of activities do you oversee?
Well, I am a year-round volunteer and I serve as an area coordinator for the Richmond East area team. And I have a wonderful team of year-round volunteers who are committed to Operation Christmas Child. And we do many things in terms of encouraging churches and individuals to pack shoeboxes throughout the year.
I love it. And in fact, you know, that reminds me when I was going to a church that was very involved in Operation Christmas Child, there was this whole, is it Operation Shoebox or is it Operation Christmas Child? So can you tell us sort of exactly kind of where the OCC lies? Because it's also all under Samaritan's Purse, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. So Operation Christmas Child is a project of Samaritan's Purse and that delivers shoeboxes filled with toys and hygiene items and school supplies to children around the world. And it's a tangible gift of God's love through the hands of local partners. And that's what you were speaking about, local partners and churches mm-hmm. and community organizations. To share the good news of Jesus Christ, God's greatest gift.
Amazing. And I was going to ask you about the overall mission, but it sounds like that's pretty much it in a shoebox right there.
Exactly.
I love it. I love it. How long has Operation Christmas Child been around?
Well, it started in the early 90s, but since 1993, more than 198 million children in over 170 countries and territories have received a shoebox gift. So in 2023, we will be celebrating 30 years in operation and blessing children around the world with the good news of Jesus Christ.
That is incredible. But so Samaritan's Purse, which is the overarching organization, they've been around a lot longer than that. Is that right?
Yeah, that is correct. Yes.
So can you tell me a little bit about Samaritan's Purse? We don't want to have to get too deep in there because I do want to focus on Operation Christmas Child, but maybe just an overall about what that parent organization is.
Absolutely. So they're based in Boone, North Carolina. And they respond to physical and spiritual needs of individuals in crisis situations. And your listeners may know them for their response to hurricanes and tornadoes, communities around the country. And it's to provide aid to victims of crime, disease, disaster, poverty, famine, and persecution. And so this year, the ministry deployed emergency field hospital to the Ukraine. And they were able to distribute much-needed food and critical relief. And that's because we already had partners with Operation Christmas Child on the ground there. So that was open that door so Samaritan's Purse could come in with that relief needed for the Ukrainians.
In regards to funding for the Operation Christmas Child program, I know that obviously the boxes and the contents within, those are coming from the people who are actually preparing them. But what about the program itself? There's got to be some administration costs. So where does the funding for OCC come from?
The funding does come from online donations. Mm-hmm. Individuals can go to samaritanspurse.org/OCC. And there's a way to donate online through e-check or credit card. And again, as you mentioned, through the individual shoeboxes that are packed, same type of ways to fund those shoeboxes. And the funding is, again, strictly donations from people all around the country and around the world to fund the operation of the program.
Fantastic. Now, I know what the shoeboxes are just because, again, I've been to a church that was very heavily involved, but I know that there's a lot of listeners who may never have heard of this before. So can you walk us through sort of what items go in a shoebox? Are they actual legitimate shoeboxes? And how do you determine gender, age, where to send these boxes to?
Anybody can pack a shoebox, and it does begin with a physical shoebox, and shoeboxes can be a shoebox that you might have on hand. It could be a plastic container shoebox, and there are also shoeboxes available through Operation Christmas Child. They're cardboard shoeboxes. So it starts with that shoebox, empty shoebox, and then we, as far as gender and age, that depends on the person. And a lot of times people will look at their, if they have their own children, and they look at the ages of those children, and they know what their child likes, so they sometimes they will lean towards that in what they put in the shoebox. But we always like to pack hygiene items, school supplies, what we call a wow item, which could be a soccer ball and a pump or a doll, and personal care items. And so those are the kinds of things that we pack in shoeboxes. The most important thing, though, is praying for the child who is going to be receiving that gift. And the ages, it's, of course, boys and girls, and they from 2 to 4, 5 to 9, and 10 to 14. So they're the age ranges. So from 2 to 14 are the children that we're trying to reach.
So as people are packing the shoeboxes in and they're submitting it, they can let Operation Christmas Child kind of know what they shopped for, like whether it was a girl age 10 type thing?
Yes, there are labels. There's a brochure that gives information that tells what items can be included and what items can't be included. There's a handful of things not that we can include, and we can talk about that if you want. But that brochure has a label for boy or girl, and then all the age ranges, so that you can that can be cut off and placed on the shoebox, and then the gender and the age can just be checked, and then there's adhesive labels that have a QR code that can be scanned to be able to make that donation for the shoebox online, and that enables the donor to track their shoebox to find out where that shoebox goes in a country around the world.
That's incredible. So as soon as somebody submits it to Operation Christmas Child, then there will come a time where they can actually find out where it ended up.
That's correct. So we are beginning now next week, November 14 through 21, is what we call National Collection Week. So people who've been collecting and packing and collecting shoeboxes all year, this is a time now that they will bring them to a drop-off location. There are over 4,000 all around the country. We have many here locally, and they take the shoeboxes come in, and then from there they go to another central collection area, and then transported to processing centers. In our area, there's one in Boone, North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Baltimore. And so after that, that's when all of that processing takes place, and just checking the shoeboxes and making sure they're good quality shoeboxes, removing anything that might have slipped through that shouldn't go in there. And then there's a scanner, a scanner person, and they scan the QR code. If someone has donated online, that's scanned and scanned to the carton that shoeboox is placed in, and that's how that all comes together. At the time of processing, in one of the processing centers, the country where these shoeboxes will go is known. So once that match is made through scanning the QR code on the donor's shoebox and the carton that it's going into travel to that country, the donor can go online and look up what country that is the destination of their shoebox or shoeboxes.
That's got to be really exciting, I would say, especially for the kids who are participating in this, for a family to be able to watch that together to see where that's going.
Yes, it is. It really is. And it's amazing. I have had to look up countries to find out where are they, and you know exactly around the world. Some I've never heard of. And so that's what is so really wonderful about this, because these shoeboxes are going to the far reaches of the world, Pacific Islands, and there's thousands of Pacific Islands that we're not even aware of. Mm-hmm. And Franklin Graham is so committed to reach those children as well in the farthest reaches of where we can't even imagine these shoeboxes are going.
You did mention that there are some items that cannot go in a shoebox. So could you know, for lack of a better word, unpack that a bit for us?
I sure will. So we don't want to include liquids, candy, war-related items, any type of used items, toys or clothing or anything like that, because we just want the best possible shoebox for these children, because this is sometimes the first and only gift that these children will receive. Mm-hmm. And so there's, you know, of course, there's obvious reasons behind liquid because they can leak and they could compromise the entire shipment of shoeboxes. So there's reasons not to. And toothpaste was added a couple of years ago as a do not send. And there's good rationale behind all of that. You know, we just don't question it because we know Samaritan's Purse is so excellent in their operation and all of their logistical endeavors, so that they know exactly how to guide us through the do's and don'ts of all of this.
You did mention a brochure. For those who maybe don't attend a church that is actively involved in OCC, where can they go to find that information and also to find drop-off locations?
The best place for wealth of information, all things OCC, would be SamaritansPurse.com/OCC. And on that site, they have a wonderful search engine, and you can just type in where to take my shoebox, how do I pack a shoebox, and all everything that we've talked about this morning can be found in that wonderful website. And I would also mention that people can look at videos from shoebox recipients to hear their wonderful testimony of how that shoebox changed their life and the life of their families and communities. So there's great videos on there to see actual shoebox recipients share their testimony about the impact the shoebox had on them. So that's a great SamaritansPurse.org/OCC.
Now, you mentioned something, I believe you said it was called National Collection Week, that kicks off Monday. Could you talk to us about what the focus is for that week?
I sure will. The focus for that week is to have collection sites all around the country, where people can bring their shoeboxes that they've packed. It can be individuals, businesses, community groups, churches. And these donors are welcomed by a staff of short-term volunteers who greet them, and we unload trailers and cars and all kinds of things, the way they get the shoeboxes to us. And we pray over these shoeboxes. We pray with the donors for the shoeboxes. So the emphasis is just to uplift all of our donors and thank them for their contribution to Operation Christmas Child. And then we prepare those shoeboxes, put them into larger cartons, and again, they are then sent on to the next couple of steps in the journey of that shoebox.
Have you personally ever been part of a distribution, or have you always kind of stayed on the state side of things, helping on with the organization and the disbursement, but not actually being on the ground handing them out?
I have not, but it is a prayer of mine that mm-hmm. I would have that opportunity, but I have just loved serving here, right, boots on the ground here, and just it's been such a wonderful blessing to me personally. I get so much joy out of this ministry, and I started in 2010, and then in 2020, I became an area coordinator. So I've just it's been a privilege and a blessing to me to serve right here and promote the ministry along with my wonderful team, to get other people involved in it and help it grow. So we're constantly looking for new churches and new community groups to share the ministry and invite them to come on board with us.
Have you heard in your time serving with OCC any stories of kids whose lives have been changed or families whose lives have been changed, or even just that moment of receiving that, what that's like for the kid on that other side?
Oh, I have had the privilege to personally meet several of the recipients.
And, oh, wow.
But they all travel around the country. They share their story to groups for Operation Christmas Child. But one of the things that sticks with me that I have heard many times is the smell of the box, keeping in mind that these children have never opened a gift. And some of them are in orphanages and situations that are things that we can't quite imagine. But because we include soap as part of the personal hygiene mm-hmm. items, that soap, when they open the box, they smell that soap. And some of them, as they might have gotten their box when they were 5, 6, 9 years old, they're in their 20s now, and they still remember that smell. Something as small as a yo-yo has had an impact on these children, because what they take away from that gift is that somebody loves them enough to share that gift with them But the greatest gift is the opportunity to share the gospel message with these children. And many have gone on to, after they get their shoebox, they have the opportunity to participate in a 12-lesson discipleship program called The Greatest Journey. Mm-hmm. And many of those children, that's where they make their deep commitment to follow Christ. And many of them have gone on to become teachers of The Greatest Journey. Churches have been built in these little villages around the world because of the impact that the one shoebox, one child has had on an entire community. So the stories are just so phenomenal.
I'm glad you brought that up because I really did kind of want to get into that a bit, that it doesn't just stop with the shoebox distribution. Like there is a gospel sharing element to it. And so could you go into that just a little bit deeper? You talked about the journey that they're welcome to become a part of. Could you talk us through a little bit about what that's like, what they're being told when those shoeboxes are distributed, and what that follow-up program, if they choose to participate, what that's like?
Absolutely. So at a distribution, every child is given a shoebox. And with that shoebox, they get a small booklet, and it's called The Greatest Gift. And that is the first opportunity that a leader in that community, a pastor or missionary, has to introduce that child to Jesus. And they talk about it's from the creation until the crucifixion. And so, and everything in between, several Bible stories that we're very familiar with. And so they get that. They're introduced to the message. Then they get to open their gift. And through that excitement, with the parents' permission, the children are able then to commit to participating in the 12-lesson discipleship program, The Greatest Journey. Once they complete that, there's a graduation ceremony, caps and gowns. They get a certificate and a Bible translated in their language. All the materials are translated into the language of the country where these children are living. So, I mean, that comes up sometimes. Well, they think we're sending the English Bible or whatever, but I forget exactly how many languages are translated. But so after that experience with the discipleship program, again, the children then, they're so excited about it that they have led their parents to Christ. And there's communities that were under the influence of witch doctors and practice voodoo, and how the Holy Spirit just was able to transform those leaders and brought them, they have been brought to Christ. And they stopped that practice, and then, again, churches have been built in these communities all around the world as a result of our shoebox gifts.
And just in the 30 years that Operation Christmas Child has been around, obviously you've seen a lot of growth. Can I ask, just from your involvement, the time that you've been with them, how much have you seen this grown year by year, and why do you think it's growing so much?
I think that, you know, since 1993, 198 million shoeboxes have gone around the world. And we're looking in 2023, we're going to celebrate 200 million.
Wow.
So our goal, the 2022 goal worldwide, is 11 million children to be reached, with 9.4 just coming from the United States. I think that the program continues to grow because people, I think, realize that there's so many countries, even in their own country, where people are looking for hope. And the shoebox contains that hope for children around the world. And I think people have caught that vision. And I think that is because of our year-round volunteers who work so hard and go out and present this project to, again, as I said earlier, churches, community groups, and to become involved. And these churches and our year-round volunteers do such an excellent job conveying that message and the urgency of getting the message spread worldwide. If we don't do it, who will? So we say that the fields are ripe for the harvest, the workers are few, but we have so many people who've come alongside with such a passion to share this ministry around the world and bring hope to children.
Is there still a need for more volunteers? Like, if that's something that a listener was interested in finding out more about, what types of activities are the volunteers involved in and how do they get involved?
One of the ways that I became a year-round volunteer was to working in our church as a drop-off location for shoeboxes. And then we had people there called short-term volunteers who worked during that week. Also short-term volunteers who work at the processing centers around the country. And so that's how sometimes they catch that excitement, you know, in that whole, the processing of these shoeboxes. Not that it's a process so much, but it's just such a transformational experience in my personal opinion, that then they want to go get a little more deeply involved. So that's, again, through that Samaritan's Purse website, ways to volunteer come up. And so I'm considered a year-round volunteer. All my team members are year-round. That means we do it from January through December and start back over the next year. And, you know, we plan and we have outreach events and prayer walks and many things that we try to do to get the message out. So we can't have enough volunteers because, you know, as I said earlier, the fields are ripe for the harvest, the workers are few. So we're always looking for people who would be interested in going a little bit deeper into this ministry. And we're happy to share that. And how to do that, again, is on SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. How to volunteer.
I was going to ask you about activities beyond just the Christmas season, but obviously Operation Christmas Child, it just focus on those Christmas boxes for the kids. Are there other things with Samaritan's Purse that happen throughout the year that people could maybe get involved in? We don't have to go too deep into those, but just to kind of have an overview of some of the activities that happen year round.
Yeah, and I think we start year round. They're called project leaders in their church, mm-hmm. and other people start shopping for shoeboxes and looking for items and catching those great sales and do that year-round. And people have packing parties. They can happen in the summertime. They can happen anytime. Packing parties was where a group of people come together and they fill shoeboxes together with things that they have collected. We have a project leader workshop in September. That's nationwide, so project leaders being people in an organization or church who lead the charge for their folks to, and we encourage our project leaders and give them tools and resources to encourage them to go back and continue to lead with excellence within their churches. And we have prayer events, as I said, throughout the year. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things do go on. Specifically with Operation Christmas Child year-round.
So that's actually good, too, for people who say their holiday season is already busy enough, they can't do any more. But if they want to help, there's other things that they can do throughout the year that may not coincide with a chaotic time of year for them.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yep. Yes.
I love it. Jean, thank you so much. I really don't have any further questions about OCC, except I know that you mentioned the website where people can find more information. Could you just repeat that for those who really do want to check out the brochures, get more information, maybe even watch some of those videos that you had mentioned as well?
I sure will. It's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC.
Amazing. Jean, you have been a joy to talk to you. Thank you for everything that you do, because I know that this program, it really is so impactful for millions of people. And we're just grateful for everything that you're doing to help make it a success each year.
Thank you, Megan. Thanks so much for allowing me the time to share this with your listening community. I sure appreciate that.
And that concludes another edition of Community Matters. Thank you once again for hanging with us today. And of course, if you'd like to hear audio from any of these interviews again, you can do so right on our website, WPER.org. Have a great day.